Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yesterday, the first two teams that will suit up for the Hall of Fame game, as we mentioned, LeVar, the Cowboys and the Steelers. That game, by the way, 2 weeks from tonight. Crazy that we're this close, but the Hall of Fame game will be happening a couple of weeks from tonight. And so, yeah, the Steelers showing up to camp. We'll more on Ben Roethlisberger and the new diet that Ben Roethlisberger was talking about later on.
The but seafood diet.
Yeah, it is. There is something there,
There is something there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. Not exactly what we were led to believe. The Dallas Cowboys reported back to Oxnard. Now, listen,
are we going?
Well, look, depending on who you ask, some would call it Noxnard. I mean, I'm just saying. Like, depending on who you ask.
Have you ever hung out in Noxnard?
Are you kidding me? I'm from the 805.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm born and raised in the 805.
I've been there a couple times. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's a couple of places you don't want to go. When you start to go inward a little bit, and the bars are on a couple of liquor stores, that's an indicator that,
you've gone into the wrong area.
Yeah, maybe I need to head back towards the ocean. Well, go that way.
There's... For some of us, we're very well versed on that.
I was gonna say
a liquor store. There's a pawn shop. What part of town are we in? I don't know, but. Let's turn around.
I remember getting into I was covering South Carolina, and they were in the Papa John's Bowl, and it was in Birmingham, Alabama. It was at Legion Field, which is one of the biggest dumps I've ever been to in my life. Easily the worst stadium I've ever been to in my life. Shout out to everybody in and around Birmingham. And I remember there was a liquor store nearby that had bars up, and not only did it was like double proof, it had bars up, and then there was bulletproof glass in front of the counter. So you walked in, there was bars up, and then bulletproof glass. So you had to slide everything, middle of the day. Like when you go to a gas station late at night, you got to slide it under because they don't want to take any chances. We're talking middle of the day, sun is out, and it was like that. And I told the guys I was there with, because we were there as a show, and I said, I got to get a beer.
You know what's funny? Where I'm from,
I had to.
Where I'm from in Pittsburgh, they had that at the KFC in our like, shouts out to Homewood. The KFC in Homewood had a bulletproof, like you put the money in, they turn it.
Oh yeah.
They take the money, they put your food in, they turn it.
Yes.
They open it, you get your food. Like, because people was getting robbed. At gunpoint, all kinds of craziness.
Now, what part of Pittsburgh? Are we near Carson Street, near downtown?
That's downtown. Yeah. I mean, Homewood is like right behind, like Oakland.
You know,
it's like literally you go into like what would be considered to be, what's that the area? East Liberty, like Homewood, East Liberty, and then boom, Oakland is right there. Literally, the Pitt campus is right there off of Homewood, but. It is a tale of, they say in Pittsburgh, it is a tale of two very, very different stories.
Because Duquesne's in the nicer part, correct?
Right. Well, it depends on which Duquesne you're talking about. Duquesne the school or Duquesne the area? Duquesne the area is a very depressed area.
Duquesne the school.
Duquesne the school is right. It's like in the city,
it's
right?
It's like up a hill, I remember.
It's up a hill. It's right. It's down the hill from where the Civic Arena is and like where you're like walking distance away from where the Pens play and stuff like that. And it's right. It's literally right directly situated right before the bridge that takes you onto the North Shore to where, you know, the PNC, the baseball team plays, and then, you know, Heinz Field where the Steelers play. So it's a beautiful place, Jonas.
It is.
Pittsburgh is a beautiful place, but the tale of two tapes is Pittsburgh is a beautiful place if you are a visitor and if you have money. Pittsburgh is not a beautiful place if you're broke and you don't have a good job, and a lot of people know what that story and what that tape, you know, story of that deal is. So, but That's how it was.
Yes.
You had bulletproof. Yeah. You had bulletproof. Back to the original point. You know where you're you're at when you see certain things that you see.
Yeah, and so we've got Pittsburgh in the news because they're showing up to camp. We've got the Dallas Cowboys who are at training camp in Oxnard. They're showing up. And so Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
He's starting to look a little older, man.
He is. And that's the part that is, I think, going to be a sort of a tough conversation to have. Jerry Jones is in Oxnard. And they're holding court, literally on a tennis court in Oxnard at training camp. And he got pretty emotional because he was talking about how much he missed it and them not having training camp last year. And this sort of feels a little bit normal. But then the conversation turned to, you know, Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson obviously getting into the Hall of Fame now, the two-time Super Bowl champion coach there. And it's one of those Shaq, Kobe, why didn't you guys make it work and continue on moments to where those guys clearly had reached their end. Egos got involved. It wasn't working out anymore. And so Jerry Jones shared a story about Barry Switzer coming in to talk about the job and getting the job there with the Dallas Cowboys. And here was Jerry Jones from yesterday.
Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in and he said, "Where's Jimmy?" And I said, "Jimmy's gone." He said, "Well, that's not right. Get him in here." I said, "Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach." I said, "What in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about?" He said, "I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up?" That was Switzer.
Do you think you could answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I it up.
So that is, I think, the first time we've heard Jerry Jones acknowledge.
Pretty dope, man.
I screwed it up. Like, all these years later, I've never been able to figure out why I effed that up.
I've never been a Dallas. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, so I don't like Dallas.
Yeah, you can't.
America's team, it's like, I hate them. I've hated them for so long. Like, I hated them when they beat us in the Super Bowl. I hate everything. I've hated Dallas for so just bad. It's a real hate.
By the way, you can catch LeVar on Fox Sports 1 next week. You'll fit right in there with the Dallas Cowboys conversation.
But I've met Jerry Jones several times. I remember when I was working for NFL Network and we were on site for the owners' meetings in Boca, and we were hanging out at the bar at at the hotel that we were all staying in. And all I can recall from the two evenings that I saw Jerry Jones out is this has got to be one of the most down to earth dudes.
I've heard the same
that
thing.
You will ever. And when I talk when you talk about keeping it all the way real, Jerry Jones is one of them dudes that keeps it all the way real, bruh. And I always, like, my level of respect for him went to a whole nother level. Like, all things given, like, how much I dislike the team. But then you start to realize, like, man, like, the type of ego you have to be able to pull off some of the things that Jerry Jones has pulled off in his life. Let's not just start with the Dallas Cowboys and what he's done to make that one of the largest and recognizable and investable brands in all of sports. In life, what he's been able to accomplish, Jonas. And again, you have to have a level of narcissism in you. Like, anybody who says you're totally humble, you totally have like an openness about you where you're not a know-it-all about some things and different things like that, I would challenge you to see how successful they are in the things that they do in their lives. Yeah. Because you have to have a level of belief that is almost uncomfortable for other people to kind of embrace, right?
Yeah.
And that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is one of those guys where it's like from the surface, you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, he's so self-absorbed. Everything's about the star and how about them Cowboys and his bus and all this. But when you get to the root of it and you start to see what type of a dude he is, like what type of a man he is, Jerry Jones is a pretty dope dude.
That's what
bro.
I've heard.
And so to hear him say that, because I've never heard that. It's always been about the beef that was never resolved and with Jimmy Johnson and with you know Jerry Jones and how that all fell apart. Barry Switzer got his in too, though. He got it done as well. But to hear Jerry Jones make that admission says to me that Jerry Jones is like, look, let me make right on some of these things. Like, yeah. You know, Jimmy Johnson just got into the Hall of Fame. Jerry Jones will most certainly probably go into the Hall of Fame as an owner.
He already got in a couple years ago.
Okay,
yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, the amount of attention to detail that Jerry Jones is showing right now says it all. Like, all right, here is a humble moment. You know, to say that, you know, because a lot of the arguments and the discussion points have been it was Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
It was not Jerry Jones that was the reason why they won. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You don't have, I don't think Jerry Jones, maybe he's to a point now where it's like, I want to win another Super Bowl. I want to win another one, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win this Super Bowl. But you don't have to go through life at this point looking back at all the success you had with the three that you were able to get and not think that you weren't maybe the most major part and influence of winning those Super Bowls in the beginning.
And I also think, look, he's going to be 79
bro.
In October.
He looked a little older.
Yeah, he did. And I just, when he's getting emotional and he's talking about it, I just think this is a guy who sees the end date. I think he realizes.
Like the end date.
Yeah. And like, look, that's, and it's uncomfortable to speculate about that, but it's a reality of the situation and where we're at. And I think the fact that he, all these years later, finally acknowledges, you know, I screwed that up. You know, I effed that up.
That's pretty cool.
Look, I think he looks at maybe not having training camp last year. Last year was a pretty tough year for the Dallas Cowboys.
Great take.
Like, this is, he loves all of this. And I've heard the same thing that you got to experience. Jerry Jones has been a guest here on Fox Sports Radio on you know, morning show years ago a couple of times. And just my interactions with him on the phone, because I was setting up the interview, he could not have been kinder. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case with a lot of players who are one person on the phone, then another when they get on the air. But never mind. Forget about Drew Brees. But Jerry Jones, the situation with him, I've always heard good dude.
Yeah.
Really down to earth.
Yeah.
A guy who I had a buddy who was at a bar. Jerry Jones bought the entire bar drinks for no reason.
Oh, he will party harder than you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not careful, he will take your chick.
Oh, okay. Listen, yeah.
Be clear. And I don't mean
Hugh Hefner with a Super Bowl ring.
Bro.
Yeah, come on.
Jerry Jones's ability to party is very, very hard to match or to reach. I'm gonna just tell you that.
Yeah,
he is not a game, and them shorties be loving his shtick, bro.
Yeah, listen,
he puts it down. Believe that.
I've heard so many good things about him. That man, look, the America's team, as you pointed out, the Cowboys first, all that. Understand, he's selling a product.
Yeah,
of course. He, even when the Cowboys are bad, they're still a topic of conversation
because
of Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
They have won 3 playoff games since 2000. So we're going 20 years. I think they've won 3 playoff games since the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's been 25 years since Neil O'Donnell threw those interceptions. I don't mean to bring up bad stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of bad.
Yeah, I don't mean to bring up bad stuff. But it's been 25, 26 years since Neil O'Donnell threw those interceptions and Dallas won their third Super Bowl with Barry Switzer.
It's not my style to take the blame. It's all of our fault that we lost the Super Bowl.
I mean, look.
What, Neil?
Yeah, and, you know, Yancey Thigpen is throwing something at his radio right now hearing this discussion. But it's been a long time, and yet here we are, and the Dallas Cowboys are still a topic of conversation.
Bro,
you think it's any coincidence that of all the teams that Tampa Bay is going to play to open up the season, it's the Dallas Cowboys, and they're opening up Hall of Fame weekend? Come on, man.
I mean,
that's Jerry Jones.
Their news.
Yes.
And Jerry Jones has done a phenomenal job of making that star one of the most relevant in all of sports.
Yes.
Like, no matter where you go, no matter where you go in the world, there are two teams that always has fan bases and bars in those places.
Yeah.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes. There you go. Jacksonville Jaguars. Jesus.
No, but you
we totally went off the rails on that one.
I totally agree. And you go, there's always a bar there. It's got a Cowboy fan.
Always.
Look, our generation, man, people grew up, we didn't, out here in Southern California, there wasn't an L.A. team for a long time.
And a lot of L.A. people claim the Cowboys.
100%. And
the greatness of the race.
And the fact that they training camp is in Southern California.
And how brilliant is that?
It's great.
To bring your team from Texas to the first, second largest, you know, media market.
Southern California.
And, come on, man. Yeah. How brilliant is that?
And so,
so smart.
So if this is, you know, sort of the beginning of the end and Jerry acknowledging it, man, I think we should celebrate.
By the way, before we break, Neil O'Donnell, you son of a bitch, let me tell you something. You had Greg Lloyd, Captain Kirk, LeVon Kirkland. You had Chad Brown. God rest his soul. You had Kevin Green on that defense. You had Rod Woodson. You had Cornell Lake. You had Brinson Buckner. What the hell were you doing in that game? Throwing the gosh darn ball away the way that you did cost the Steel City a Super Bowl that would have been probably the most legendary Super Bowl that they would have won since the Steel Curtain did it when they got their four. Thank you. I just had to get that off my
chest. That's right. Look, I mean, this is what we're here
Neil,
for.
Neil, what are you doing, Neil?
This is what we're here
for. If you're somewhere right now, I hope you're okay, but I kind of don't.
Okay. This is, we get things off our chest here. Fox
I wish
Sports
you
Radio.
Had a Twitter account so I could Twitter troll you and tell you how bad I dislike you.
It is, it's how this works. All right, he's LeVar
Arrington. I hate you, Neil.
I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, somebody wanted to celebrate in a way that I really don't understand. It's a sports story, but it is a sports story near your heart. We'll get to it next year on Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
This is Pearl Jam, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
I knew it.
Can't tell me nothing.
Got this.
Ha ha! You can't tell me
album.
Nothing.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we could have some major, major changes in the world of football. We've got reports coming out. We will get into all of that here a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. So the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. And, you know, there's been a lot of celebration of Giannis and celebration of the city of Milwaukee, and they finally get it done. And now we're just all waiting to see what the hell Aaron Rodgers is going to do. But for the time being, Milwaukee and Wisconsin sports fans have reason to celebrate. Reason to celebrate because their Bucks are champions. Now, LeVar, you and I both know they're not going to be celebrating much if Aaron Rodgers decides he's going to retire and not show up. And they're definitely not going to be celebrating much if Penn State has their way with them week one of the college football season.
Get Wisconsin out of there.
How about that?
Yeah.
So here's but if you're gonna celebrate, I feel like there are better ways to celebrate than Giannis showing up to Chick-fil-A. All right. I got a problem with this, and I know I'm gonna be in the minority, but you couldn't do better than that. Like I don't get, and maybe this is crazy. I don't get the Chick-fil-A craze, man. I don't get the buzz. I don't get what it's all about. I can understand Permane Brothers in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
all right. I get it. It's special. I can understand deep dish in Chicago. I get it. It's a different thing. I can understand all of that. I don't get you're an NBA champion and the next morning you're thinking, let me go celebrate at Chick-fil-A. Get out of here. There's better ways to do this.
First and foremost, shouts out to my man Tony Stewart, my former teammate at Penn State. He has one out in Orange County, a Chick-fil-A.
A Chick-fil-A?
And let me tell
that's
you something.
That's the only one I like.
Yeah. Let me
want to make that clear. That's the only one I like.
Let me tell you something. The deluxe Chick-fil-A sandwich that I get when I usually partake in Chick-fil-A, that you have been convinced that Chick-fil-A is the most healthiest fast food
option. That's a lie. Yeah,
right?
That's a lie. Yeah.
It's almost a very like it's like weighing out your options and stuff like that. But as it applies to Giannis, to me, I think it's just a genuine approach to who he, you know, from all reports that I get, I know a few people that know Giannis personally. And from all of the stories that have been told about Giannis, he is literally the guy that he appears to be. Like, there is no smoking mirrors.
Yeah.
This isn't a guy. Like, I've met a ton of guys that on camera and during the interview are like the most gracious people, nice people, loving people, caring people. And as soon as that interview is over, it's like straight up a-hole. Like, straight up. And I mean, ridiculous. So the idea of it, when you get somebody who really is just who they are, Chick-fil-A's good. Like, it's good. So to me, I like it, because for some strange reason, we've started to think that success is connected to the extravagance of how you live your life. And for what it's worth, like, success is based in what you want to do, how you want to do it, and really doing it at a high level. And if you don't want to go to, you know, Ruth Chris or you know, Capital Grill or something like that,
listen,
to go, I'm cool with that.
Right.
Go party at Chick-fil-A.
Hey, look.
Get your walk on in the parking lot.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I'm not, whatever it may be. I'm not mad about the price tag on the celebration. More mad about, look, if I'm up, we work
out. I'm buying everybody a Chick-fil-A sandwich if we won this championship.
Okay.
Y'all dig what I'm saying?
Right, so, but here's the thing.
Hey, I'll get you two.
Let me tell you something. I don't eat breakfast. If I'm going to have breakfast, I'm going cinnamon roll. All right,
okay.
I'm not going Chick-fil-A. I want to actually splurge and indulge in things, and I just feel like, look, there were better options out there.
So
I
mean, you're a Cinnabons fan?
It's okay. Yeah,
really?
It's all right. I mean,
I feel sick after I eat them. But, man, when they're going down, it is just pure heaven, bro.
Yeah, listen, I think a cinnamon roll is better than a donut. I think a cinnamon roll is better than a donut.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Great donut? You can't beat a great donut.
And I also think donut holes are better than actual donuts.
I'll tell you, have you ever tried a bundt cake?
Yes.
O-M-jizzle.
All right, so what is that? Careful.
And that's
there.
Not even, I'm not
careful
even.
Careful there.
You know,
right.
You are funny.
I just
figured that one out.
Listen, I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, I want to make sure we're all the same page.
I didn't have to hit the dump button on
nope,
that.
No, absolutely not.
All right,
it is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and you. It's Hour 2 next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to take you all the way up till the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And we do so with the man himself, the one, the only, LeVar Arrington.
What up, man?
Good morning
to everyone out there.
Yeah, we're just, you know, talking some football. It feels like a little bit like football. We got, you know, some meat shows on the television in studio. People are cooking meat. That's a real thing. This is what we do here. This is a very rugged approach to morning radio. You know,
yes.
Like, you know, most people are you know, maybe looking at some other things, watching the news, getting the weather forecast.
We're watching food.
Yeah,
baby.
We're watching people you know, cook meat on the grill.
Look
so
how many steaks are connected to that slab of meat right there.
Football and steak. All right, it just
there's
feels
nothing wrong
like
with that.
Yeah, it just feels like that's the part of the season that we're in.
You want to hear something horrible?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm allergic to red meat.
What
is that horrible or not? That's
still
horrible,
you
right?
You still eat it, right?
Yes.
Okay, good for you.
I mean,
like,
you got one life to live, right? And while others will say, I want to live, I'm not going to eat red meat. I just say, I'll take the physical challenge,
all
man.
Right. if
y'all come visit me on my deathbed, bring me a piece of steak.
Yeah, I'm not. Like, tell you something.
Let me taste that burger.
Look, I'm allergic to bees. I'm not knocking on hives, I'll tell you that.
I can dig it.
One comes near me, and I'm out. See you later.
Oh.
Listen, you put a tarantula on my eyeball. ball. I'm fine.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, like a bee lands on the desk here, and I'm calling the cops.
Yeah,
like I want no part of that. I don't need that problem.
Is that the worst one? Is a bee? What gets you? What gets you going the worst?
Tsunami waves.
Yeah,
mess me up. Giant waves. There's just
they scare you.
It's just so
you have like a phobia of them.
And they're so overwhelming that I don't know what to do with it. Like most people go, man, if a tsunami was coming at me, man, the first thing I'm doing is I'm running. I'm not running anywhere. I'm literally taking a bottle of booze and I'm going to pound it while the wave engulfs me and just go out like that.
But like, all right. So are you talking literal tsunami waves?
Yes.
or just big waves?
Like big waves, like giant waves.
Like the ones that they surf in like Maui and
yeah,
stuff
I'm
like
out.
That.
Yeah,
you're out on that.
Yeah, see ya.
Fellas, give me something. What are you most afraid of?
Yeah,
truth. What y'all got before we get going on this show? What are you most afraid of?
I'm claustrophobic.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Have you ever seen a scene in a movie where somebody wakes up and they're inside a coffin?
Yeah.
Oh
was that, you're not a boob man.
What was it? The Kiefer Sutherland movie where he turns the lighter on and he's in a coffin?
Right.
Yeah. See you later. I'm out.
What you
I'm
got?
Out. Yeah.
The police.
Oh,
yeah, geez.
Well, hey.
Very good. Now, you're talking about the band, right? Oh, my God.
Let's see, Eddie Garcia, your biggest phobia.
What you got, Eddie?
No, it's I'm the same way. That is...
Claustrophobia?
Yeah. I'm not going through the sewer. I'm just going to stay. Andy Dufresne's going to stay in jail.
Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's not. You know, I can't do that. I'm not going to crawl through some. You know.
And Dub in Nashville. What's your biggest phobia? Phone's not working.
Yeah, not correct. Well, not being able to gamble on sports.
Yeah, that's right. It's not fair.
The pandemic.
The pandemic is a big phobia.
Yeah. Well, this is fair. I mean, look, it got to a lot of people.
It's my wife for me.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
there it is.
My biggest fear.
All right. Good job. There it is. Happy anniversary to everybody.
LeVar, there's a couch back here in Studio 3.
I'm afraid of her.
Yeah, that's all right.
I once thought about, is it rats? Is it heights? And then I realized that my biggest fear is my wife. I'm afraid of her.
Mrs. A, he's just reading off the prompter. This is not. Those are not his words. That was placed on a teleprompter in front of him. Those are not his words. But
I should be afraid that I answered truthfully, too.
Yeah, listen.
I should be afraid.
Look, it's an honesty moment here.
It was. I was
Fox,
just
it three
was
hours
very
of
therapeutic for me, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to get that out there.
I mean, like, I'm still terrified of waves.
Everybody got tight when police came out, but I got, you know, I got to say, I feel like I trumped police with wife.
Yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
Good.
Okay,
I mean, listen,
well, there you go.
Yeah, we don't, here on this show, we don't burn bridges. We take, you know, a flamethrower to
them. We blow it up.
It's just, it's not.
We don't watch it burn. It's just out of there.
Yeah, explosives.
Obliterated.
Yeah.
It's disintegrated.
It's like the Mothman prophecies.
Gone.
You know, that with bridge collapse in West Virginia.
There is
the
no
Mothman
going
prophecies.
Back.
All right. So, LeVar Arrington.
I was joking, by the way. I love you, wife.
That's all right. Listen. All right.
I wasn't joking.
If people don't have a sense of humor, this is probably not the show for them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Put it that way.
Well, everybody can't love you.
Oh, hey, it happens.
I get it.
There is a story in the NFL. Now, we were a couple of weeks out from the Hall of Fame game. We talked about Jerry Jones and getting emotional and just sort of the Cowboys side of it. But the Cowboys do have an opponent for the Hall of Fame game, and they are the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, I mean, when Ben Roethlisberger or somebody within Roethlisberger's camp comes out and says that he's got a more strict diet than Tom Brady, and this is a brand new Ben Roethlisberger, and he's going to be ready to go for the season unlike any other time before, and then he shows up to training camp for that Hall of Fame game coming up in a couple of weeks from now, and it doesn't appear like there's been any sort of physical change with Ben Roethlisberger.
His face looks slimmer.
I mean, oh, yeah, possibly. I am not here to... I will say this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and try and fat shame Ben Roethlisberger because I don't play that game. I actually am happy that he looks just the same as he normally does. Because at this point in your career, why the hell would you change? Mm. Like, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You got a couple of Super Bowl rings. You've been to three. You're the greatest quarterback in the history of the most, one of the most historic franchises in all of sports. Why the hell would he change his diet or anything else at all? Go out the way you came in, guns blazing. If this is your final year, do it the way you do it. I was happy to see Ben Roethlisberger and no changes. Good for him.
I'm not going to fat shame either. I just think that that's just genetically how he's built. He probably did do the Tom Brady diet. He probably does look in the mirror and he's like, man, you sexy son of a gun. Look how sexy you are, Ben. I'm proud of you today. He probably does do self-reassuring of himself. And I think he believes that. This is the one thing about Ben Roethlisberger that, you know, just based upon the people that I know that know him very well, and I know some guys that are still on the team that actually work with Ben on a very intimate basis as a teammate. You know what? They believe that Ben felt largely in part responsible for the way the season ended last year. It didn't sit well with him, and he feels a lot of accountability to bounce back and finish out, you know, his victory tour, his last lap the right way. So regardless of how he looks physically, if he meets the eye test or not, I think Ben is ready to go, and I think he's going to be poised to have as productive a year as he possibly can, because I just don't think he wants it to end this way, and I think that's why he fought to stay in Pittsburgh.
In fairness to Ben Roethlisberger, he had the worst running game in the entire NFL.
It was bad.
I mean, they were not good. They couldn't run the ball. And he was coming off a major arm surgery, like a major issue. He had surgery, played two games. He clearly did not look okay. I saw somewhere it was the first time a surgery like that had been done on a quarterback. So to bring him back with not really much of an offseason and then expect him with no running game to go out there and try and, you know, lead the offense by throwing the ball as much as they were doing it. I just thought it was an unrealistic expectation of Roethlisberger at that point. And they were 12-0 to start off the year.
11-0.
And this also, and this is not me trying to ball wash the Pittsburgh Steelers or trying to make excuses for Ben Roethlisberger.
Jeez.
All I'll say is this. It's not like they had a bye week last year, because you remember they had a bye week lined up, and then all of a sudden Tennessee ran into their COVID issues, and Pittsburgh found out sort of midway through, oh, no, so this will be your bye week. So they didn't really have a true bye week. They found out late that they were getting the week off because of Tennessee's COVID issues, and then they had to just play all the way through, which is why the first round bye was so much more important to Pittsburgh than it was anybody else. And the way they faltered down the stretch, remember the first game they lost was against Washington. Was it a Tuesday or a Wednesday game?
Yeah.
Like it was a weird year. They started off strong and sort of fell apart towards the end. I just don't think Roethlisberger was put in a position to succeed last year. I really don't.
Well, their defense fell apart.
Yes.
In terms of health-wise. You had some very key injuries take place. And they just weren't the same team. You know, the formula that was working for them was not present at the end of the year. And that was evident. And that was a larger issue than concentrating it on just one player in particular. The quarterbacks, we all know, they get the blame for the shortcomings along with the head coach, and they get the credit when they do win. So we were just talking about how we talk about Tom Brady so much and how great of a winner he is and how much he's done, but he's always been the benefactor of an amazing defense.
Yep.
Going back to the beginning with guys like Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy and Brewski, those guys, right? So, you know, when you think about Pittsburgh, one thing about it is they're going to have a running game and they're going to have a dope defense. And they did not have that running game. And they looked to have tried to address that through the draft.
Najee Harris, yeah.
And so, but you also got to think, are they going to be okay up front? You know, losing Pouncey is probably the singular biggest loss that they're going to have. You lose DeCastro now. So you have some holes that have to be plugged up and filled if you're going to have a chance at being able to run the ball the right way and being able to culminate that with a solid passing game. I have a lot of concerns towards that, you know, and I think I'm a tad bit skeptical. But again, with that being said, I think this Steelers team is the type of team that has the pride to try to, you know, outdo, like, for them to have a 12-4 season and it to be frowned upon and looked at like it was a failure, first and foremost, is kind of crazy to me. But then you start to think they probably felt the same way. They probably feel the same way. It's like, ah, this was a missed season and we can do better. So you'd have to assume they're probably going to come back and do better. So I'm kind of, just as a fan, from a fan right now, like not as an analyst, but as a fan, I'm excited to see what they come up with this year, because I think they felt as though they could have finished out stronger and they could have took advantage of that. And they've been maligned for a 12-4 season. But that's a standard that you create and you got to live with once you become a champion. And they've won championships together. So it'd be interesting to see how they bounce back.
It's Outkick the Coverage here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up next, one of our favorites is going to stop by. Always a fun conversation. And she's going to make all of us feel lazy. She did it last week. She's going to do it again. Shannon Spake is joining you next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up in, we'll call it, a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, you've got one of the more successful coaches in all of sports talking about a potential change. So we'll have that for you here 10 minutes from now on FSR. Right now, she is kind enough to join us every single week here on Fox Sports Radio. She made everybody feel lazy a week ago because she's talking about you know, all her athletic endeavors. She is Shannon Spake of Fox Sports. I mean, I try and stay healthy, and you totally just embarrassed everybody that was involved in the show and listening last week, Shannon. You feel good about yourself?
Way to do it, Shannon.
Unbelievable.
Well, I will tell you this. I got to thank you guys, because you guys are the ones that got me out of bed this morning, because I had to swim. And when Danny G reached out to me yesterday and said, hey, can you do 7:15? And I said, well, I usually swim at 7:15 on Thursdays. And he's like, all right, how about 8:20? And I'm like, this morning, I'm like, oh, I've got to get out of bed, because if I don't go and swim, they're going to ask me about it. And then I'm going to have to tell them that I failed on it. And so I just got out of the pool, actually. Did about 2,500 yards this morning. So, feeling good.
2,500 yards, what does that equate to, like, in lengths of the pool? Just so our listeners out there and me, really, we know.
So 500 yards is 20 laps. Okay. So, listen, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, so you do the math. I can't figure that one out.
So you were just in there just swimming and paddling just for a while. Like, what, half an hour, 40 minutes?
Yeah, we go about an hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I've got a group that it's called Masters Swimmers, which just means it's the old people that are still trying to keep up with the high schoolers that are in the lane next to us. You're just like, it's funny. I was swimming here a couple of years ago at the aquatic center that I swim at here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And some of the swimmers were here, practicing or getting ready for Rio. And I'm in the pool and I look up and I see this like kid and I'm like, God, he looks familiar. And of course, like, I know you guys have done this before. You're like, did I date that guy? You know what I'm saying? I know him from somewhere. Like, you know, where do I know him from? And it was Ryan Lochte. And so at first I'm like play it cool, you know, and then all of a sudden you just like, you lose all sensibility, because you watch him jump in the pool and you watch him pull a wake as he's swimming. I mean, a legit wake that I could water ski on the back of that.
Oh, wow.
And by the end of it, I'm just swimming under the water, watching him, just watching him. I feel that way a lot. Like when I go to practices for the NFL, and you see some of these, I mean, Stephon Diggs, you know, at practice, you know, catching a ball in the end zone, or Kirk Cousins, I saw him throw like a 75-yard pass and dropped it in the guy's hands in the end zone. And you're just like, it's incredible to watch, you know, some of these guys. And so, yeah, here at the pool, I was able to swim with some of the Olympians at one point.
The names to throw out there for drop a 70-yarder in somebody's hands, Shannon. You said Kirk Cousins.
But people think that in comparison to other quarterbacks, they go, oh, Kirk Cousins. But, like, if you throw Kirk Cousins on a field with just 99% of planet Earth, like, he's unbelievable. It really is amazing.
And I say his name because it's exactly LeVar, right? Like, you're sitting there practice and you're like, whoa, like, you hear all these things about him and, like, you know, he gets all this like bad rap, and then you see him do something like that and you're like, whoa, you know, like, you realize that even guys who aren't getting the credit that they should get at certain levels are still doing incredible things.
That is true.
That, like,
very
the guys
well stated.
Sitting up in the stands would never be able to do. I had this conversation with someone, up in New York, actually, Buffalo Bills fan, right, sitting at the bar after my race. And, he was, one of the guys that was sitting there talking about, like, how this guy needs to do this better, this guy needs to do that better. And I just look at them and I'm like, you have no clue what it's like to be down there.
And they were tweeting it while they were talking to you about it, by the way.
Yes, and, if you have, like, a camera on me during the games, like, my face is constantly like, oh, ow, oh, because you hear these hits and you see these incredible things that you have no idea what it's like. I mean, you do, obviously, but when you're down there on the field level, normal people have no idea what it's really like.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting.
It's when you're, and Shannon Spake joining us here, Fox Sports, here on Outkick the Coverage, Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here on FSR. Like, what's the most impressive? Because you do, it's obviously for NASCAR, and you see people wear the headsets because it's so loud down there, and you don't really have an understanding. Like, I think somebody's speeding and they're going 75 on the highway out here. And you see that, what is it, 200 miles an hour on average cars are going?
Yeah, they could go faster at some of the super speedways for sure.
So when you're down there, and, like, what is the most impressive thing you've seen up close and personal at a sporting event? Because, obviously, look, you covered high-level college basketball, the NFL, college football, NASCAR. Like, what's the thing, if you were to tell people, this is the most impressive thing that I have seen up close and personal in my time covering sports?
So this is not the NFL. This is a Christian McCaffrey thing. And I use this. I talk about this a lot. Like, he was playing in Stanford. It was like the opening game against Kansas State. And he ran back and it was penalized. So it didn't count, but he ran back I think it was a kickoff or I think maybe a punt for like 95, 96 yards. And when he ran by me, like, I could feel like the wind, like he was so fast that it was one of those things where it took my breath away to see a human being move that quickly. I've asked him about that. I asked him, I'm like, are you faster now than you were then? And he's like, oh yeah, definitely. But that was one of the incredible things. And I think anytime you see a receiver, like jump for, a football or someone who just has top end speed that you're just, it just blows your mind away how they put it in another gear. And I told you, DK Metcalf, to me, like, just physically watching him on the field, I think I maybe shared this with you guys, where when he falls, he's almost like a cartoon that pops out, the muscles start popping out when he gets hurt. Like, all of a sudden
he's
like, I'm fine, like, I'm okay. And so he physically, when you see him up close and personal, he's one of those guys that it stops you in your tracks.
You bring that. It's funny you bring that up, because I can remember I was in Columbia, South Carolina, and it was a Georgia-South Carolina game, and there was a weather delay, and it was like 2014 or 2015. And I still remember being in the stands and watching Todd Gurley break off a run for Georgia. And it looked like he was playing with children. He was so much better than everybody else on the field. And I think it was a similar situation to where it got called back. But the stadium just stood – and especially the South Carolina side, just in shock to where you wanted to boo the guy, but you just realized we're seeing something different. And it just makes me think of how great Todd Gurley was before the knee injuries and everything. People forget how good he was of a running back. And just to see him on that field against other college kids, and they look like kids in comparison to him, was one of the more impressive things I've seen.
DeSean Jackson, a couple of years ago, I saw him pop off, and it was one of those where you were like, whoa, this team's in big trouble, you know, because if he gets open and he can get that top-end speed, it's incredible. I also just love watching the guys operate. I heard, you know, Drew Brees is one of those guys where you're on the sideline and you're watching him do his thing, or Tom Brady, when you have that perspective of being right there on the sidelines and watching them perform, watching them in their atmosphere that they have. I mean, they're Hall of Famers, right? They're doing something that nobody else can do, and to me, it's such a honor to be able to stand there and watch some of these guys in doing the best thing that they can possibly do, that they do better than anybody. And I don't, that those moments are not lost on me, for sure.
Shannon, you had a tweet about, and you know, the further from the ground, the harder the fall, with Giannis and everything that's going on, the whirlwind of attention and emotions connected to them winning and being a market that hasn't won in so long. What's your take on post Giannis, post NBA Finals championship? What's your angle on it?
I think we all love that story, that underdog story. I mean, you love seeing the Giants win as well, but I think you all love that underdog story, and to watch the way he operates, not just on the court, but you heard that press conference. It's such a unique perspective, you know, to be able to. And you know, you guys have been part of teams. You know what that guy's like. You know how that guy rallies people because of his selflessness and because he is someone people want to be around. They want to be more like. It just brings a different energy to a team. And I said that because, again, I know every single one of us have walked out of or finished a day, a great day, right? And you're like, man, I'm awesome. That was great. I did awesome. And your head starts to get up in those clouds. And then, as you know, you heard Giannis mention it, it never fails. The next day, something happens that brings you right back down to reality and right back down to earth. And so I've learned during my time on this planet that if you just try to keep yourself as grounded as possible, like I said, that fall is a lot less of a fall to the ground when you do come back crashing back down to earth, because it always happens.
Great perspective.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Shannon Spake, always a pleasure joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Already got a swim in. So what's next? Are you going to do the run now, or where are we at now? What's happening on a Thursday?
That's it for today. Tomorrow's my birthday. So
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to do a little open water swim tomorrow. There you go, to celebrate the start of the Olympics. I actually have a buddy that's competing in the Paralympics. He's a swimmer. He's double amputee, and I'm excited to watch him in 2 weeks do that. But we're going to do a little open water swim with about five ladies and maybe share some champagne afterwards for my birthday.
Booyah.
Any birthday cake? Are we cutting that out while you're preparing and training and doing all this? Like, any birthday cake, any sweets will be indulged, or what are we looking at?
I'm like a liquid dessert person.
Okay.
So
very good.
I'll do that.
You'll drink your carbs. You'll drink your carbs. Yes. Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, there you go.
Shannon, you're the best. Happy early birthday. We appreciate you popping on with us. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah, awesome to talk to you guys.
All right.
There it is. Shannon Spake. Get her on Twitter, at Shannon Spake of Fox Sports. Always a good conversation with Shannon here on FSR. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox here on FSR. We are going to get to these some interesting comments from a very well-known name in the world of football, on the changing landscape of the world of football. So we're going to get to those here. I want to make sure we got time for that coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Fred Warner got paid, LeVar Arrington.
God bless the linebacker.
Yeah, third round pick from a couple of years ago for the Niners. He gets a 5-year deal worth $95 million, $40.5 million guaranteed.
He's an animal.
And Darius Leonard is going to be the next guy that gets paid from the Indianapolis Colts.
He's the best in the game.
Yeah, I think they were waiting on one of those two was going to get a deal done. It's like the Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald deal back in the day to where you're just waiting on the first guy. And once Aaron Donald got his done, then Khalil Mack and his company went back to the Raiders and said, all right, here's the price tag. And they ended up dealing him and he got his money. But this feels like this will set up the Darius Leonard contract. But man, I like San Francisco next year. If Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy and plays well, doesn't even have to be great, but just plays good, I think the 49ers are a legit contender in the NFC.
They just lost their running back, though. They have dealt with injuries, and they're going to get Bosa back. They're going to get a few guys back that, you know, Deebo Samuel's had a rough year as well. I mean, there were a myriad of injuries that they dealt with.
Kittle was never really healthy.
Off and on. I think they can be a really good team for certain again, but we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, the defensive line is still intact. And I think that if they can return to a dominance that they showed the year they went to the Super Bowl, I mean, if we all recall, the 49ers could be easily a Super Bowl champ, and Patrick Mahomes isn't looked at the way that he's looked at right now,
Agreed.
Per se, if the defense just holds up their end of the bargain. Garoppolo
totally
gave them 10 points.
Totally agree.
And this defense you don't look at as, you know, all season long that they would be the actual Achilles heel to them not getting that Super Bowl. So, you know, I think all things given, that this team is put together in a way where they can be a very, very viable contender in the NFC. But I think it's going to be difficult for them to do it in the NFC because I think the NFC West right now is probably going to be the most competitive division in all of the league. So
that division is going to be so much fun to watch.
It's going to be brutal.
Yeah, that is going to, because there is something too, right? If you're in a division where you've got that many good teams, like, does anybody ever really get out of there alive? Like, it's hard because you think about some of the great divisions from the past and you go,
AFC North, that it's like a bloodbath.
Yeah, but there weren't a lot of Super Bowl champions. There was a couple of years where Baltimore got out and Pittsburgh got out, but those
were each other up.
Yeah, they beat each other. I can remember. And obviously you work with TJ Houshmandzadeh on Saturdays on Up on Game, but I can remember watching a Pittsburgh Baltimore playoff game, or I don't even know if it was a playoff game, but I just remember
every time they played, it was like a playoff
game.
And
I remember, I think TJ got absolutely hammered over the middle. I just remember a play to where he was really dinged.
Think about Burfitt getting knocked out.
Oh my God.
Perfect knocking out AB. I mean, there have been some really, really brutal. You remember when Ryan Clark was hitting McGahee? There's just been some really, really brutal games.
That could be the NFC West this year, man. Like, it could look a lot like how that old
I won't say as physical as that AFC North, like, kind of glory days of the division. But there is a ton of talent.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the best football player, period, in football right now, and Aaron Donald is in that same division. So there's a lot of you got to look at this Rams front. It's a great front with the best in the game. Then you look at like I just said, right? You look at what's going on with
the Niners.
If their defensive front can get back to where they were, then you're now talking about a defensive front collectively across the board is better than the Rams defensive front. And so, I mean, it could go any way. Don't count out Arizona.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Arizona is probably the one team that everyone should be nervous about. They're the one team in the NFC West and in the NFC and in the NFL that people should be concerned about. unless you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
I'll just let you know that they could be a very, very dangerous team this year.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
That division is going to be wild.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.